feet wide and just as deep. There was no way the Kennys were going to dig their way out of that avalanche, if anybody survived the blast.
Let's find Ann.
Going over to the holding pen, Ryan passed a moaning Kenny twitching on the ground, a piece of tent stake protruding through his side. Holstering his piece, the Deathlands warrior drew his panga and silenced the noise with one quick stroke.
Ann! Ann!
No reply. No. He tried again, but still nothing. Fireblast. She might have been knocked unconscious. Taking a torch from a bucket of tree resin, Jack lit it with his butane lighter and looked inside. The crackling torchlight brightly illuminated the small cramped hole. There was nobody in sight, and an open door led deeper underground. Soft light came through the opening from somewhere on the other side.
They took them with them.
He drew his blaster.
Stand back!
Firing the six-hour twice, he blew off the lock, and kicking aside the wooden grating, Ryan jumped into the damp pit. He landed in a crouch and stayed that way, waiting for his eye to become adjusted to the darkness. Without warning, a screaming Kenny rushed in through the doorway, brandishing a wooden club studded with human teeth. Ryan shot him in the belly. Kicking the club out of reach, Ryan saved Damo and used the panga once more. There was a shadow cast from overhead, and Doc landed in the prison cell, an M16 cradled in his arms.
Prudence dictates decorum.
Ryan jerked a thumb at the door.
Sweep it!
Doc stuck the fluted barrel of the M16 out of the doorway and fired a burst in both directions. Screams announced hits, and the two men charged out of the cell, blasters firing. Already wounded, the Kennys waiting in ambush were aced in seconds, their flintlocks remaining unfired. Stooping, Ryan picked up two of the weapons and fired one, then screamed as if in pain and fired the other.
That'll make them think we're wounded. They'll get brave, easier to chill.
Exemplary, my dear Mr. Calder.
Doc tucked one of the ammo pouches from the dead into a pocket of his frock coat. With cat-like speed, Jack appeared from the cell with a second M16. JB was right behind, the Uzi sweeping for targets. A spare ammo clip from the recovered munitions bag was tucked into his belt for fast access. Jack squinted in the dim light.
What this?
Some sort of underground lair. Highly appropriate for eaters of the dead.
The corridor walls were stacked rows of bamboo tucked into place behind thick wooden beams that supported a jigsaw of wooden pieces. Roofing shingles, tabletops, decorative louvered doors, plywood, ship planks, anything that would serve as roofing. Every few yards there was a niche in the wall with a clay bowl full of some greasy substance, a burning piece of cloth serving as a crude wick. The passageway extended to the left for only a short distance before ending at a mound of fresh-turned earth, the cave-in from the C4 blast. The right ended at a sharp left turn. There was no noise or voices discernible, only the slow echoing drip of water striking stone from somewhere distant. Jack crinkled his nose.
Smells odd.
They're burning human fat in the lamps.
Thieves.
Agreed.
Ryan looked over the collapsed tunnel.
Well, leaving won't be a problem. We can climb the cave-in and reach the ground easy.
Indeed. As long as the folks on the other side don't dig their way out. Perhaps I should stay as rear guard to prevent such an occurrence.
Good idea. Anybody with us when we come back, I'll use the code.
Hesitating for a moment, Doc offered the man the M16, but he pushed it back.
You may need it.
Ryan glanced at the ton of collapsed soil. The scholar nodded.
Understood.
Hey, what that?
Jack retrieved a small piece of dirty cloth from the floor. It wasn't a wick for one of the candle bowls, or a used snot rag. On a hunch, he held it to the clothing of the dead man, and it was completely different.
This Ann?
Ryan took the rag and looked it over closely.
Same color, and it's been ripped loose, not cut. Maybe she's laying a trail for us to follow.
Or a trap for us to walk blindly into.
Come on, let's find her and get out of here.
Ryan took the point and crouched to sneak a peek around the corner of the tunnel. There was a long passageway beyond that stretched for yards before ending at another intersection. Rising, he led the way down the corridor, pausing at a dark section of earth that rose ever so slightly above the rest of the floor. Ryan scuffed his combat boot on the ground and detected a subtle movement under the newly turned soil. He fired twice into the ground. Blood began to ooze from the earth.
Triple stoop. Old trick. Trader taught it to us over beers at Charlie's bar.
No shit.
Called it a Hanoi hand job. The Cannies bury a man to wait like a landmine for one of us to step on. And then he'd attack.
Nodding, Jack now scrutinized the dirt floor and the jigsaw puzzle ceiling much more closely for any additional living traps. Reaching the intersection, the companions found the tunnel went in both directions for a good distance, the walls lined with doors. Most were unlocked and led to sleeping quarters for families, empty now. A few were locked and contained clothing from the prisoners, one room packed to the ceiling with assorted boots, but no weapons. Every corridor ended in another intersection, each branching out into more corridors and side passages. Closed doors lined the bamboo walls, and they had to check each one before risking leaving it behind them. It was slow going, and they worried about the Cannies preparing another trap. The Gray Men were smart and ruthless, a dangerous combination.
Place is a bastard maze.
Ryan was using a pencil stub to draw a map of the tunnel on a piece of the lighthouse journal. He had kept the page because it showed the strange symbol from the gateway. He had hoped to ask some of the locals to see if they knew what it was. Now he simply needed it as paper. No way he was going to let them get lost down here, for the Cannies to trap and slowly starve them into submission. He'd rather take a round than go into a stew pot. Another bit of rag led them to the left of an intersection. This corridor was dark, all of the wall lamps extinguished. Ryan nudged JB and motioned behind them. The armorer nodded and passed the warning on to Jack. He silently agreed, then started down the darkened corridor, as if unaware they were walking directly into a trap. Almost at once, there came the slamming of a door, followed by the barks and howls of dogs. In unison, the three men turned and opened fire at the floor, the fusillade of rounds tearing the hounds to pieces, blowing away ears, legs, and eyes.
Couple more of those, and we would have been on the last train west.
JB pulled the clip and checked inside, then slammed it back into the breech.
10 left.
Out.
Jack dropped the rapid fire to draw his .357 Magnum pistol, cocking the hammer with a calloused thumb.
See big black dog, shoot at eyes. Just eyes. Not stop firing till say.
Using their butane lighters, they lit the lamps along the corridor, but stopped when they found a piece of rag caught between a door and the jam. JB checked for booby traps while Ryan and Jack stood guard. When satisfied it was safe, JB picked the old lock and got out of the way. Then Ryan kicked the door open without entering. Taking a lamp from the wall, he thrust it into the darkness. Dirty human faces stared back. People were sitting on the floor to walk toward the light, a hand covering her face.
You okay?
Ryan looked her over for injuries that might slow her. The longer they stayed down here, the more time the Cannies had to regroup. Time wasn't on their side.
Ryan, you came!
Anne threw herself at the man, weeping uncontrollably. Holding her by the shoulders, Ryan pushed the woman away and slapped her hard across the face. She recoiled in shock.
Stay focused if you want to live. We're up to our ass in dreck and low on ammo. Where's the ship?
Anne blinked in confusion.
What?
Ryan squeezed her arm. Pain always made a person more aware.
Said you know where a ship was to be found. Tell me, and we all leave together.
There is... There's a ville on the far side of the island, past the Black Mountains. It's a port. Lots of ships docked there.
You know the way.
Yes, of course I do. Used to live there before...
I know the way.
The owner of this new voice came hobbling to the doorway. He was a big man, gaunt from hunger, but his former strength was clearly visible in his sheer size. Black hair and almond skin, he was dressed in bloody and torn clothes of very good cloth. A wide leather belt around his waist proclaimed the man a sailor.
Ed said you would come after her. Guess she was right.
Here for her, not you.
Ryan jerked a thumb.
Leave if you want, but don't follow us. Get in the way in your 0 days.
I know the way through their bungee stick wall.
The creek. Found it already.
The man lowered his gaze to the 9mm pistol in Ryan's grip.
Then again, maybe you don't need us. Does that thing actually work?
It's how we got here.
JB lifted the Uzi for the prisoners to see. The men gasped at the sight and backed away deeper into their cell.
Stop talking! We have to leave!
Anne impatiently moved from foot to foot. The motion made her dress sway and exposed a lot of skin. There had been little of the dress remaining before she started ripping off pieces.
They can come back any tick, hundreds of them!
Ryan ignored the interruption and stared at the stranger.
Who the hell are you?
Every minute wasted was ammo against them. But with more men, they had a better chance of reaching the surface alive, if he could trust the prisoners not to throw the companions to the cannies to slow down pursuit.